Brother Lay this morning, and I just get thrilled on how the Lord does this. He really laid the foundation, the groundwork for what you're going to hear tonight. Because he talked about meditating the first five books of John. We're going to be in John tonight. Not in the first five books, but we're going to be in John tonight. But the message is still centering around knowing who you are. And one of the phrases that Brother Lay used this morning was, and I hope I get this right, knowing that you don't know, but you don't know that you don't know. Okay? Knowing that you don't know, but you don't know that you don't know. Something along those lines. In other words, we don't understand who we are as sons and daughters. We just don't understand that. And tonight is going to be something along those lines as well. Okay? And I have notes that I was holding on to. Forgot to give them out. Sister Cindy, if you would help, and Sister Renee. And if you would notice on my notes, I didn't give you the title for tonight. I know what the title is. Okay? But I want to ease you into it tonight. Okay? But as Sister Cindy and Sister Renee are passing out the notes, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In the song, I Wonder, like I mentioned earlier, the phrase, he bled his love. And the whole purpose of him doing that was to make God available to be our Father. That's why he did that. So God could be our Father. So in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be designated, that we should be pointed to, that we should be called out so that people will know that we are the sons of God. You know, again, it's one of those phrases we say, but we really don't understand the significance of what we're saying. And that was one of the things that was so neat about Brother Lay this morning, because he just kind of hit that from a lot of different points. And I'm going to do the same in a way. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Thank you, Sister Renee, Sister Cindy. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. That word knoweth means to be acquainted with, to recognize. So I want you to hear what this verse is saying. The world does not recognize us or acknowledge us for who we are. As sons of God. Do you see it? Because the world did not acknowledge or recognize him as the Son of God. It's like Brother Lay talked about this morning. The Jewish people were expecting a totally different Messiah than what they got. They wanted someone who's going to be, and this is so today, they wanted someone who's going to be a social person, someone who's going to be the social leader, someone who's going to bring back the glory of being a Jew. They were not expecting someone who was going to die for mankind, because his whole sole purpose was getting people to heaven. So when the Bible says they know us not because they knew him not, they don't know us because we have the same life and nature in us that Jesus had in him. But see, the problem, one of those problems, ladies and gentlemen, is we don't know us. We don't know us. And that's the problem. That's the big issue. Because we don't know us. And John tells us in the very first verse, behold, now are you the sons of God. Now. Barry is 60. Barry will be 61 on the 11th. I guess that's what, next Wednesday, next Thursday, in the ballpark. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 10 years old. I was a son. My now was when I was 10 years old. And my now continues. Okay? But see, we can be sons, we can be daughters, we can be now and not know that we're now. Okay? And that's very important, because the sooner we get to the understanding of the now, of who we are, the quicker we'll get to doing the works that Jesus wants us to do. Okay? Let's continue. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are the sons of God, ladies and gentlemen, the same way Jesus is the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, but we do not appear as he does. Why? We're still wearing our earth suits. We're still wearing our earth suits. So the Bible says that when he shall appear, you know, when Jesus comes back, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we see him as he is, and this is the first blank, we will truly see ourselves. When we see him as he is, we will truly see ourselves. And because we will be exactly like Jesus in every way, including that glorified body. Okay? Look in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God. Say it with me. I am of God. That means... tough crowd. That means God is my father. That means Satan has no power over me. None. You are of God. That word of is the Greek word ek, E-K. And it means out of. It means from which your origins began. So, we are out of God. We are out of God. Before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Barry was out of John. My dad's name was John, John Thomas. Barry was out of John. Now, because God is my father, I am birthed by him. Again, what we're doing in the first part of this message is relaying the foundation that Alay laid this morning, getting you to understand and to see who you are. Okay? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Have overcome them. Who is the them? Let's make it a real broad stroke. Everything related to this world. We have overcome everything related to this world. Now, one of the things related to this world that we sometimes forget are our bodies and our emotions. They are related to the world. But according to what we just read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we have overcome those things when we got born again. Okay? And I'm not, Brother Lay, please accept my apologies. I'm not trying to you know, reteach your message. But he said that the reason that we don't know who we are because we have not renewed our minds to that truth. We have not renewed our minds to that truth. So Jesus is telling us in 1 John chapter 4, you are, your point of origin is God your Father. You are his child. And because your point of origin is God, you are now an overcomer when it comes to the things of this world. Because greater is he that is where? In you, than he that is in the world. Again, we're painting this picture of who you are. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is ek, comes out of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory, ladies and gentlemen, that overcomes the world. What is the last word in the verse? Faith. Our faith is what overcomes the world. Just because we're sons of God, we have the innate nature of being an overcomer. But ladies and gentlemen, you can have it, but if you don't exercise it, you're not going to be it. You have to exercise your dominion. You have to exercise your overcomingness, if I may. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In verse 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's very important. We're going to come back to that, not here, but when we get to John. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jump to verse 11. And this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. He bled his love. Laid down his life. You see that? These things, no, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that has not the Son hath not life. He that has the Son, he who has said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, you now have eternal life. Those who have not done that do not have eternal life. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you give to charities. I don't care how highly people think of you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have life. You're going to the lake of fire, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of folks in the church who are going to the lake of fire. I say that with a great heaviness of heart, because the Bible says he who that overcomes the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. Going back to verse 5, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Your life is going to show that if you really believe that. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. So, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Beloved, you are now an overcomer. Beloved, what puts your overcomingness into reality is your faith. Beloved, when you believe on Jesus, when you trust in him completely, whatever you ask, he's going to give it. You see the picture? Okay. John chapter 14, verse 12. And this is the verse we're going to focus on tonight. John chapter 12, verse 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. I'm sorry. Thank you. And we're only going to look at the first part of that verse. Okay? Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, shall ye do also. Now, we've heard from this pulpit by several different people that the Bible is an image book. It paints pictures for you. That's what the Bible does, okay? Because it wants you to see things from God's vantage point. Now, look what the Holy Spirit said after I read John, the first part of John 14, verse 12. Jesus was presenting an image to the apostles in much the same way as God did with Abraham. Just as Abraham was to look at the stars and the sands to understand how large his family would be, the apostles were to look at everything Jesus had said and done when he was with them. He was their image. He was their hope. To the apostles, what Jesus did was there shall be. Now, how many of you remember Brother Gary Carpenter's series, The God of Hope? If you have not heard The God of Hope, ladies and gentlemen, you need to hear that. The God of Hope. Because in that series, the Holy Spirit gave him the definition of hope, which says, hope is where you come to the place. So if you are here and hope is there, then you need to get over there. Hope is where you come to the place where you agree that what has been is not what shall be. You agree that what has been is not what shall be. When Jamie had us this morning praying or confessing, declaring our healing in different areas, what was that? What was that? According to the definition, what has been is not what shall be. So we were declaring healing over what has been. Okay? Because God's word says when you have hope, faith, when you declare over what has been, what is now is what shall be. What has been is not what shall be. In other words, you're going to get healed. Okay? So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not heard The God of Hope, please listen to it. It's a wonderful series. Now, we're going to focus on the first part, he that believeth on me. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, he that believeth on me. In 2013, and I think I have it in your notes, Pastor did a message on 8 critical errors to avoid. And I think I have those in your notes. And he talked about how the Holy Spirit gave him a definition of what it means to believe. Okay? Again, I encourage you to go back and listen to that message. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, whosoever shall believe within his heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the same word. We're going to fill in four blanks right now. The Holy Spirit says, told Pastor, that word believeth, the first thing it means is a recognition of who Jesus is. It's a recognition of who Jesus is. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. Jesus is deity. What Jesus says is law. It's recognizing who he is. If any of you know Fred Flintstone, have watched Fred Flintstone, he was the grand poobah. He's the grand poobah, okay? Jesus, he is the final say. And so that word believeth includes recognizing that Jesus is the final say. The second thing that word believeth means is an affirmation of what he says. It's an affirmation of what he says. So if Jesus says it, there's nothing else to be added to it. There's nothing else to be said. Jesus said it. Okay? Jesus said it. And see, it's an affirmation of what Jesus said. In other words, Jesus said it, then I believe what Jesus said. Okay? I believe what Jesus says. It doesn't matter what the world is saying about what Jesus says. It really, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what Barry says, Jesus says. The Gospels tell you what Jesus said. And so if Barry is saying something different, then don't listen to him, because he's not telling you what Jesus said. Because the only thing that matters in this life and living the way we need to live so that less people go to the lake of fire is saying what Jesus said and living that way. The third blank. Believing means we accept. It's an acceptance of Jesus' standards. It's an acceptance of Jesus' standard. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, or it could be verse 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the standard. There's no leeway. There's no gray area. You are to be holy as he is holy. That is the standard. And this is all part of believing on him. And the last one, we are submitted to Jesus' authority. We are submitted to Jesus' authority. That's all part of this word, believing. Believeth. So again, when we say, when the Bible says we are to believe on him, the Bible is telling us that we need to recognize that who Jesus is. We need to affirm what he says. We need to accept his standards, and we need to be submitted to him. That's what the Bible says. That's what that means. But how many of you know that the body of Christ are not living that way? The body of Christ, they're not living that way. If you agree with what the world does and you are a Christian, you don't believe on him. You may believe on something else, but you don't. You may believe on this picture of Jesus that you have hanging in your house. You know, this picture that everybody has, the same picture. You may believe on that Jesus, but you're not believing on this one. You're not believing on him. And I'm not going to get on the soapbox tonight because I'm just not. Okay? Now, I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit said. Because now I'm getting ready to give you the title. Okay? The Holy Spirit said, and this is the blank that we're going to fill in. Jesus told the apostles that when you reach this place in your spiritual walk, my reality will be your reality. My reality will be your reality. The title of the message tonight, Jesus' reality, comma, my reality. Jesus' reality, comma, my reality. When you get to the place that you recognize who Jesus is, you affirm what he says, you accept his standards as your standards, and you submit to his authority, his reality, ladies and gentlemen, becomes your reality. Do you see that? His reality becomes your reality. Everything that we saw Jesus do in the Gospels becomes our reality. It's not just something we read about anymore. It is something we are. It is something we are. Something else the Lord shared, and this is from the perspective of God the Father. Because of the decisions, the choices my son made, I was able to live through him. I was able to live through him. My life was his life. That's why he could tell the apostles, when you see me, you have seen the Father. Imagine what your life would be like if it was totally synchronized with my life. If it was totally synchronized with my life. Can you imagine that? A life that if you could put it on the wall or in a picture, and you see God's life, and then you would see Jamie's life. Wait a minute, there's no difference. It looks the same. Or you'll see Becca's life and God's life. Where's Becca? It looks the same. That is what God is after. We have his life in nature. He wants us to look the same, to look like him. He that believeth on me. That word on, it's a Greek word, and it's pronounced ice, I-C-E. And this is what I want you to see. He that believeth on me. That word means that we are at a place in our lives where we are striving to believe completely on Jesus. It's a word that says we are in motion towards that final act. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Because what it tells us is you're not there yet, but that's okay. At least you're heading in that direction. And the closer you get, the more you're going to look like Jesus. As you continue to walk, continue to go forward. Don't take any steps back. Don't go to the side. Continue to go forward. He that believeth on me, he that continues to move into looking more and more like me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on me, he that is moving toward looking more and more like me. Those who are doing that will do the works. Those who are doing that will do the works. So, the question, ladies and gentlemen, is, since we're beloved, and now we're the sons of God, and since we're beloved, and we have overcome the world because of our faith, and since we are beloved, Satan cannot stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Why, ladies and gentlemen, are we not doing John chapter 14, verse 12 on a regular, consistent basis? I'm not saying we're not ever doing it. Maybe we are. But why are we not doing it on a complete and consistent basis? I'm going to give you 9 reasons. And we're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter and work our way forward. Okay? The interesting thing about what we're going to do tonight, when we read the verses we're going to read, and then we ask the question, what if we're doing the opposite? And it's going to tell you why we're not doing John chapter 14, verse 12. Okay? But before we do that, we got to go back up to John chapter 13. And you've heard me say before that John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all one happening. You have to read all 13, 14, 15, 16, 5 chapters You have to read all five chapters to get the fullness of what's going on. Okay, so we're going to go back up a couple of verses in chapter 13. And Peter said unto him, unto Jesus, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. You hear what Peter said? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Verse 38. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou shalt not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So you're going to lay down your life for me, Peter? The cock is not going to crow three times before you have not done that. Okay? Now, what does it mean to lay down your life for Jesus? In the Greek, the word means to put in proper order, put in proper perspective. Okay? Put in its proper place. So when you hear that definition, think about complete, total submission. Think about complete, total submission. When you hear that definition about to put in the proper place, think about, and I'm going to pick on Anna, think about Anna saying, I die daily. That's what he's saying. If you're going to lay down your life for me, he's not asking us to literally go out and stand in front of a bus and get hit. He's asking us to lay down our lives daily for him. Why? So that he can live through us. Okay? So reason number one, ladies and gentlemen, why we are not doing John chapter 14, verse 12, we are not totally submitted to Jesus in the same way he was totally submitted to the Father. Plain and simple. We are not told. In other words, we have not laid down our lives. There's still too many things we want to do. We have not laid down our lives. Which means then, when you go back to he that believeth on me, you recognize who Jesus is, okay? You are submitted to Jesus' authority. You affirm what Jesus says. And you are accepting of his standards. We're not doing that. We are not submitted that way. So the first reason that we are not doing the works is we're not submitted in the same way Jesus was submitted. We have not laid down our lives. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When you have a troubled heart, what is that an indication of? Fear. 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 Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, somewhere along in there, says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. So if your heart is troubled, you are in fear. And Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. So every time you have a troubled heart, there is some unbelief. There is some fear. Reason number two. We truly don't believe in Jesus the way we think we do. We truly don't believe in Jesus the way we think we do. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Reason number 3, we don't understand our place. We don't understand our place. And Jesus, when you read down further, he says that where I am in present tense, ye shall be also in present tense. He's talking about in position, his place as a son of God. That's what he's talking about, his place as a son of God. And see, like Brother Lay talked about this morning, we don't know who we are. We don't know our place. But I tell you what, the enemy of the soul, his little demon hordes, they know who we are. And they're so glad that we're ignorant. They're glad we're ignorant. They're glad we don't have a true revelation of who we are. Because if that ever happens, ladies and gentlemen, cut out the lights, the party's over. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, see present tense, you may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas, verse 5, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There may be many roads to Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, but there's only one road to heaven, and that road goes through Jesus. It doesn't go through Chicago. And I don't care who tells you that there are more than one way to get to heaven. Whoever tells you there's more than one way to get to heaven, they ain't going. They ain't going. There's only one way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. I don't care what the Muslims say. Jesus is the only way. I don't care what the Buddhists say. Jesus is the only way. I don't care. You can argue with me all you want. I am not going to argue. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Bingo. That's it. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to try to build an alliance with you to make you happy so that you will accept what I'm saying. I don't care if you don't accept what I'm saying, because truth is truth. It's truth, ladies and gentlemen. Hurt people's feelings. Go ahead, hurt them. Maybe if you hurt their feeling, they'll be hurt enough that they want to take a look at what you're saying. Because when you tell them, I don't care what your religion teaches. If it doesn't teach us that Jesus is the way to the, that Jesus and the cross is the way to heaven, you're wrong. Oh my God, you're going to tell me I'm wrong? You're arrogant, FOB, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not. The truth. The truth. And people, we have got to stop dancing around the truth. We got to stop that. People's lives depend on that. We got to stop dancing. And I don't care how good a dancer you are. You could dance as good as Michael Jackson. Doesn't matter. We got to stop dancing around letting people know that if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you don't live the way he says you need to live, you're not going to heaven. Not trying to be mean, not trying to make you mad. You are not going. Well, Barry, what makes you think you know? Here it is, right here. See, I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I think I know. I'm telling you what I know. He's the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, child comes to God but by Jesus. No other way. Okay? Number 4, we don't truly believe Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. We don't truly believe Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. Verse 7, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Number 7, we don't know Jesus. That's why we're not doing John chapter 14, verse 12. We say we know Jesus, but we don't know Jesus. Okay? Because it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Obviously, when we get down to verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. You only get there once you know Jesus and know the Father. So obviously, if we're not doing John 14, 12, we don't know Jesus. Okay? Verse 8. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it shall suffice us. And Jesus, verse 9, said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Reason number 6, we don't believe what Scripture records about the life of Jesus, which is reflected in the life, which reflects the life of the Father. That's why we're not doing the works. We read these, we read the Gospels, we agree with what we see, but we don't believe what we see because we don't believe we can do what we are seeing in the Gospel. Even though Jesus says, the works I do, ye shall do also. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, for the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Number 7, ladies and gentlemen. And this is one that Brother Lay hit on very, very hard this morning. We haven't grasped the revelation of the Father dwelling in us. We haven't grasped the revelation of the Father dwelling in us. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. Ye are of God, little children. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ye are of God, little children. God is your Father, little children. God dwells in you, little children. Obviously, we don't believe that the way we say we do. Because we're not doing John chapter 14, verse 12. Look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Let me go back to my notes for a minute. Go back to verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, that the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Remember what Brother Lay talked about this morning about the words we speak are not agreeing with what the Bible says? Okay? You see in this verse words connected to works. Okay? Words connected to works. There is a relationship between what we say and what we do. There's a relationship. And I like to put it this way. There is an inside Barry. There is an outside Barry. You are now experiencing the outside Barry. Okay? Now, if the inside Barry, if the abundance of his heart is not what the Bible speaks, then the outside Barry, the abundance of his heart, is not going to be what the Bible says. Okay? My words are not going to line up with my works. My words are going to prevent me from doing the works. So if I see myself as anything else other than a son of God, if I see myself as anything else, ye are of God, if I see myself as anything other than an overcomer, if I see myself other than any person, than anyone who faith is the reason that he overcomes, then my works are going to reflect that. What I say, what comes out of my mouth, is going to produce the works. And right now, if that's who I am, the words not agreeing with the Bible, my dentures are slipping. If my words don't agree with the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, neither will my works. Neither will my works. So my question for you is, does your inside world truly represent the world that you present to others? Does your inside world truly represent the world you present to others? I mean, we're good at playing church. We do that very well. I mean, you would think that, hey, you know, Brother Barry, he's okay. But if Brother Barry is saying things that does not agree with this book, watch out. Let that check start. And that's with anyone, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why Pastor tells us over and over again, don't just believe what I am saying. You get into the Word and you verify what I'm saying. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Bereans, they searched the Scriptures daily to see that what they've been taught is true. Same here. Let's wind this up. Number 8, what we say is not what we really believe. That's why we're not doing John chapter 14, verse 12. And then finally, and Jesus says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Okay? How many of us have seen a healing? How many of us have seen a miracle? Okay? This is what Jesus is saying. Those of us who have seen the healings and the miracles, they have not been enough to convince us to lay down our lives for Jesus. They have not been enough to convince us to lay down our lives for Jesus. Seeing the miraculous is not enough to convince us to lay down our lives for Jesus. It's just not enough. It's not enough because it doesn't matter what you see, it's what you believe in here. It's what you believe in here. I mean, I want you to think about all the thousands and thousands of people who go to Benny Hinn meetings. Did I pronounce his last name right? Benny Hinn. Okay. They go to his meeting. They see the miracles take place. They see the miraculous takes place. But they're not changed. Ladies and gentlemen, they went to see a show. They went to see a show. They went to see someone get healed. That's why they went. It didn't change them, per se. It may have changed a few. But seeing someone get healed does not change you. What changes you is getting to the point that this is living in you. That's what changes you. Seeing someone get healed does not change you at all. The only thing that it did when you read the Gospels, it got people's attention long enough that Jesus could teach them. That's what it did. It got their attention so he could teach them. And so we have all these people going to these different meetings, want to see all the healings and all the miracles. And I just thank God that he's using people to the best that he can use them to do all those things. But then they're not being changed by what they see. We are supposed to be change agents, ladies and gentlemen. We are the ones who are supposed to let people know that you change first, the miracle and the healings, they will come. They will come. But you have to be submitted. You have to be willing to make the hard choice. And there's so many of us in the body of Christ, we're not willing to make the hard choice. We're not willing to make the hard choice. But it's my prayer that I am talking to a group tonight who are willing to make the hard choice. And remember, we talked about that definition of the word on. It's the word that means that you are moving towards being who Jesus is more and more. You're not stagnant. You're moving toward. You're making progress. God likes progress. In fact, God loves progress because it's an indication of how much you love him that you are willing to do the things that's going to get you deeper and deeper into him. This message tonight, as I have said over and over again, is really piggybacking on what Brother Lay shared this morning, trying to get us to understand and see who we are. And so we laid the foundation about being the sons of God, being overcomers, living by faith, all those sort of things. And when we don't do that, that is why we're not doing John chapter 14, verse 12. It's not because we can't do it. It's not because we don't have the capacity to do it. It's not because we don't have the spiritual life in us to do it. It's because we are not willing to sacrifice in this life of ours to see those things come to pass. If getting born again was all that was needed to do the works of Jesus, all of us would be doing it. But see, when you want to do the works of Jesus, you have to look at the life of Jesus to see what he did in order to do the works that he did. Because remember, Jesus is our model. He's our role model. He's our image. He's the one we pattern our lives after. And so you go to the Gospels and you see what Jesus did. For example, he got up early in the morning when it was still dark to go spend time with his Father. Early in the morning. How many of you are early morning people? Three. Four. You see? But it's not the getting up early that I want to emphasize. It's making time to get away with your Father. That's the whole point. He made a decision every day. It's important for me to go sit at my Father's feet to find out what he wants me to do today. And that's important. We have to make that same decision. For some of you, it may be 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, if you're a night person. But you need to find some time where you can find out what your Father wants you to do. That is what Jesus did. My meat is to do the will of my Father. What my Father wants me to do is what I'm going to do. I believe that I'm talking to a group of people tonight who really want continue progressing to looking more and more like Jesus.